creature great and small, saints and angels one and all, they bow in reverence at your feet. Every creature great and small, saints and angels one and all, they bow in reverence at your feet.
Praise the Lord in this place. We're going to do this one again. I'll tell you why. See, I'm friends with Roy Fields, and I have permission to use any of his music, so they can't ding us on Facebook or anywhere else. And if they do, we'll call Roy. All right? But we need to do this song again. We need to worship the Lord. You know, Roy told me that he walked up to his keyboard one day, and he said, he closed his eyes and he started praying, and he said he just heard this song in heaven. So he started playing along with him. Yeah. So this song came straight from heaven right here. So let's do it again. That's why there's an anointing on it.
All creation cries in need falling down before your throne.
help me sing this. For you are holy, Lord, you are worthy unto you.
For you are
holy,
King of kings and Lord of lords, we worship you, Lord. We exalt you today. God, there is none like you. You are the great King. You are the Word, and the Word made flesh, and you dwelt among us, and you made everything. And Lord, we worship you, Creator, Holy God, Mighty God, our Savior, our Redeemer. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you have done, what you did for us on the cross by dying for our sins, your resurrection from the dead, giving us, Lord, the apostles and the prophets, Lord, the doctrine and the scriptures, establishing the church. And Lord, you said that you would build your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, that we are part of your church. And we continue, Lord, we will continue to build that church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. That's a good word. You know, Jesus said upon this rock, and he was talking about himself, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. You hear me? But the next thing he said was, I give unto you, talking about to the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And what he was telling is, he was giving us, the church, the authority we needed to not allow Satan and the powers of darkness, to not allow hell to prevail. Can I tell you what the one thing is that stops the gates of hell from prevailing? And that's prayer. The power of prayer, folks. This is the morning, and throughout praise and worship, the Lord just kept telling me the power of prayer, folks. We really need to up the prayer around here. You understand? It's time to double down on prayer. We underestimate the power that we have together to change things in this world. I think it was John Wesley, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was the great John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. Of course, it resembles nothing of what it was when he founded it. But he used to say, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. This is a true statement. If something happens in the earth realm, it's because somebody prayed that it would happen in the earth realm. And usually it's because the Holy Spirit moved on somebody to pray that that would happen down here because God wanted it done. But God works through prayer. He works through us. Now, you say, does he have to? No. He's God. He can do what he wants. But he has chosen to. You understand? He's chosen for us, just like he gave Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden and said, it's yours. You have dominion over the fish, the sea, and the fowl of the air. You till the ground. You keep the garden. It's up to us. You do it. And this is what we got to get a hold of, folks. If we will pray fervently, daily, no matter how we feel, no matter what we're going through, no matter how impossible the situation looks, God will move mountains. You understand? God will subdue kingdoms. I think about nothing happened. You think about Daniel. Daniel prayed and refused. He said he would pray three times a day. Is there anywhere in here it says pray three times a day? No. He chose to be a man of prayer. And when the kingdoms fell around him, when Babylon fell around him, the new kingdom comes in, they still make Daniel in charge. It's amazing. Why do you think that was? Because he was a man of prayer. Why do you think that Nehemiah got favor from the king, was able to go back and get all the materials needed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? It's because he was a man of prayer. He prayed. And we know that the early church finally got a hold of that. Jesus was trying to teach them that. But they finally got a hold of how important it was to pray individually, privately, and corporately together, and to be consistent in that. And folks, I'm going to tell you, this group right here, I don't know how many we have in here today, but and those of I don't want to leave out our extended church family that watch every week. But if we would really pray the way I believe God wants us to pray, Do you understand that nothing would be impossible to us? And even when bad things hit, God moves and works miracles in those things. I want you to turn with me to Acts 12. This is on my mind first this morning. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures, so y'all get ready up there. Acts chapter 12. I love it that there's a book called Acts. What's Acts mean, folks? Do something. Look, there's too much. Let me tell you one of the greatest false doctrines there is from Calvinism. It's the doctrine of the false doctrine or teaching of God's sovereignty. God is sovereign. But God has chosen not to just do everything, and then we just kind of, it's just God's will, and we have nothing to do with it. We can sit back and pretty much just do nothing, and God's will be done. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. That's why he taught us to pray, what? Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, or in earth, we should say, in the earth realm, not on it. That's what I remember George Carlin, the comedian, used to say. I don't understand why people say get on the plane. He said, I'm getting in the plane, not on the plane. Right? We live in the earth. That's a good, somebody will figure that out in a minute. We have to pray God's kingdom come and God's will be done. That's the way he's chosen it. Anything that happens here is because somebody prayed it. Maybe somebody prayed it in the Spirit. They prayed it in tongues by the Holy Spirit. But somebody prayed it. Somebody might have prayed it 100 years ago. But somebody prayed that it would happen. And God heard it and God answered in his time. Now, I want to read this. Everybody knows this story pretty much, but we're going to read from verse 1 here. When Peter was put in jail. And, of course, Herod killed James. Now, remember, Jesus told them that they would be persecuted. Some of them would be martyred for his namesake. But let's just read this. Now, about the time of Herod, the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him unto the four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, or really after the Passover, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Everybody say that. Prayer was made, say that with me, without ceasing. Without ceasing. Now, where did they get this from? Where do you think they got this understanding? Exactly. The Holy Spirit. And finally, you know, Jesus, by example, teaching them, you pray about everything. You pray, 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 pray some more. Then pray some more. Right? Well, James had just got killed. Why? You know, they could have taken up John Calvin's idea and said, well, that's just the will of God for Peter. Let us go on about our way and just do what we're doing, and whatever happens with Peter is God's will. No. No. That is the worst teaching that's ever come through the church. No, we never sit back and go, whatever will be, will be. So the church began to pray, and Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, and he opened, and which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I love this part. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. So first she just left him standing there. And they said unto her, then the people said, you're crazy. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is his angel. Of course, they finally let Peter in. But I'm just amazed. These people, did they even believe what they were praying for? What? Peter's at the gate? You're mad. You've lost your mind. Well, this is the church, though. Isn't it amazing that God answered that prayer, even though it seems like they were praying in total unbelief? But there's power when people are in agreement, praying together for a certain thing, or maybe just a few things. Not these shotgun prayers, but focused, sniper, laser prayers, right? And I love this because one day the Lord, I was reading this many years ago when I was a young man, and I was reading this and studying this, and the Lord was like, you know, what we look at sometimes, if we just look at this story and we look at it kind of quickly and we just see, well, this is just Peter, just an individual, just a man, just one person. No. See, what the devil was after wasn't just one man. What the devil was after was an apostle. An apostle has an anointing and a gift on them to reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people. All right? That's the anointing. If you look at the apostles, they always reached thousands of people. They would preach to thousands. They would start churches. That was just one of the things that you looked at. And so what the devil was after wasn't just Peter as a man. He was after what Peter was going to do, his anointing, his calling, his gift. What he, you know, Peter had already preached to 3,000, really it was probably about 10,000 people there, and 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost. He had already preached that sermon. And the devil was trying to get rid of an apostolic ministry that would affect thousands and thousands of people. The church praying, and see, you say, well, would Peter have died or not died? Well, James just did. And I think the church woke up and realized our leadership is under attack. So we better pray because we don't need to lose these guys. And when the church prayed, the power of prayer, I mean, think about this. He's locked up. Four whatever quadrants of soldiers, whatever that means, was it 60 apiece? 16? Well, so that would be like our platoon. So four platoons of soldiers guarding one man, and he's locked up and chained up. And God sends an angel. The chains fall off. The doors open up. None of the soldiers hear a peep. And he's back at the prayer meeting within probably just a few hours. Power of prayer. You say, well, that's the Bible, Pastor Dean. No, that can happen for us. You hear me? Stop. I don't know, doubting what can happen. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how difficult it gets. God can intervene through the prayers of his people in amazing ways, in powerful ways. I want you to go with me to Luke. I've preached on this passage in Luke chapter 18 many times because it's so important. But this one was coming to me this morning, and I know the Lord wants me to say this because I honestly believe that far too many of us are letting our prayer time slack. And we need to be praying for each other. You need to be praying for the church. You need to be praying for me and Nancy and Faith. You need to be praying for Pastor Troy and Dee here. You need to be praying for, again, for each other. You need to be praying that God would move in this state in a powerful and mighty way, that people will be saved, that the devil and all of his plans will be pushed backwards. You need to be praying for each other. And this is what the parable, this is what Jesus spoke here. And he says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Listen, if you're letting your prayer time slack, then you're fainting. You hear me? You're fainting. And this is not a time that we need fainters. You don't want to be one of those fainting goats. Somebody, and they fall over. You want to be praying. You want to be a praying little lamb, not a fainting goat. Men are always to pray and not to faint. Oh, God, how we need this. I felt like the Lord just wanted me to tell you this morning, if we would do this as a church, just the group here, nothing is impossible to us. Nothing. We serve the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who made everything. His hand is not shortened. He is not weakened. But he answers the prayer, and you need to hear me. He answers the prayer of the righteous, and he answers the prayers that are according to his will. I'm going to show you that too. But he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's read the rest of this. This is the parable he spoke, saying that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Sounds kind of like our politics now. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Here is the key to this parable about prayer. Her continual coming to him and petitioning the judge against her enemy. Continual. Somebody say continual. I wonder what continual means in the Greek. Continuous ongoing action taking place in the present, right? In fact, it says here in my Bible, continual coming, because I have the Hebrew Greek keyword study Bible. It says here PPT, present participle, by continual coming. So it means ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. Continuing. Continual coming, she wearies him. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night? Guess what? Cry day and night. Guess what verb tense that might be? Present participle, ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. That cry day and night to him, though he bear long with them. Guess what bear long there is? Present participle. Ongoing, continuous. Meaning God sometimes seems to delay the answer. You know why he delays the answer? First of all, he does things in his timing when it's when the timing is absolutely right. But a lot of times, too, it's to see if you'll keep coming. It's to see if you will give up and quit. I think the devil hits you the hardest to miss your prayer time or to not go to prayer meeting or whatever when you need it the most. When you're about to see the answer, when you're about to break through and see the answer. How many times, and it's probably all of us have done it too, how many times have we given up right before the answer came? I love this when he tells them here, though. Verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? This is a reference to the last days that we are living in. This parable's for us. He's talking about that the coming of the Son of Man. When Jesus returns, will he find faith on earth? Well, what is he talking about? He's not talking about people that just say, oh, I believe in Jesus. That's not faith. No, people who have real faith have actions with their faith. And people who are people of faith have a prayer life. And they are continual coming to him. In fact, prayer itself is the very act, it's a very act of faith. It's like weightlifting for faith. Because the moment you start praying, you're acknowledging, I need help. I can't do it on my own. So even beginning to pray is humbling yourself and saying, I know I can't live this life in my own strength, in my own wisdom, in my own abilities. I need help from the Creator. I need His grace. I need His strength. I need His wisdom. I need you, Lord. That's what you're saying first and foremost. But if you will continue to come, let me tell you, especially after having the coronavirus and getting so sick in August and losing 25 pounds, I had to start back exercising, lifting weights and push-ups and doing all. I had to. I've always lifted weights, and you know, until I've had many injuries, and there's been time periods I had to quit. But let me tell you, there's many days do I feel like doing the workout? No. No, I would rather just sit on the couch or lay in the bed. You understand? But why do I do it? Because I don't want to be weak. And if I got to smack one of these politicians, I need to be in shape. I'm kidding. It's really the reporters, not the I'm joking, people. That's right. Dale Jackson would be thinking, he'd be trying to hide somewhere. They're trying to sue me or something. But listen, this right here, you've got to get strong in the Spirit. And the only way you do this is by praying. You know, I remember years ago, and I thank God for him. I don't know where he is, what he's doing now, but Dr. Larry Lee, when he started his whole teaching, his whole book, Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour, and his whole basically trying to get the church in America to pray. That was his mission. He was on TV. He was trying to raise up 300,000 prayer warriors that would commit to making sure they prayed at least an hour a day. I believe, and he was doing that in the mid to late 80s and early 90s, I believe that's what led to the revival in Brownsville in 95. Prayer always precedes a revival. Serious, corporate, concentrated prayer always precedes a move of God, always. Azusa Street, they were praying. They were praying for months and months and months that God would move, pour out His Spirit, that He would revive the church, that He would save the lost there in Los Angeles and across America. And God moved. The same thing happened in Wales, 1904, with Evan Roberts. They got people praying. They got a bunch of young people praying. The church was nearly dead. Nobody was getting saved. Everybody was living in sin. There were bars. They called them gin places, you know, everywhere. I mean, the donkeys in the mines, they were all coal miners, and the donkeys in the mines only understood cuss words. And they started praying, and they had some young people. I'm talking about praying sometimes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, weeping and moaning and groaning for God to move, for God to come down, for revival to happen. And let me tell you what happened. They called the first revival meeting after months of prayer. And they called the first revival meeting, about 19 or 20 people showed up at this little church. In 6 weeks, 10,000 people got saved. In another 6 weeks, another 10,000 people got saved. By 1 year of the Welsh revival, 100,000 people had come to Jesus. There were no cases of crimes to report. The judges put on white gloves because they had no trials to hear. The donkeys in the mines had to be retrained because all the coal miners got saved and the donkeys didn't understand anymore. And that place was wicked. And God moved. Nothing is impossible. The Hebrides revival. I mean, we could go on. The Hebrides revival was in the 50s with Duncan Campbell. And it was just a few people there praying for years, particularly two old ladies. One of them was blind. And they prayed, God, move in this place. The churches were dead. They were empty. The young people were all living in sin. And they just kept praying, they kept praying, they kept praying. Finally, God gave them a vision. God spoke to one of them, said, call for this evangelist, Duncan Campbell. It's time now. And it was wild. You talk about God moving. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning, These all the dead churches on the island there in Scotland, all the dead churches, they'd be full. Nobody knew why they were there. It'd be 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, people just show up at a church. The Lord tell the evangelist, go to this church and go preach. Nothing is impossible. In the 70s, in Indonesia, I think it's the island of Timon. Oh, Presbyterians. I mean, if God can move among Presbyterians. I mean, when you call yourself the chosen frozen, you are dead. And God, they began to pray, and they were praying, and finally God began to move. He moved so powerful during that revival that swept through there from that little church, that little Presbyterian church. They turned water to wine, walked across rivers to get to places to evangelize people, just like Jesus walked on the water. All kinds of just, and the whole area came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Nothing is impossible to a people who pray fervently, continually, and in faith. Nothing is impossible. But the Lord hears, again, the righteous. And he hears the prayers that are according to his will. Let me show you. I'm going to give you some verses this morning. I got a bunch. I had to list them right here a few minutes ago. This one's fresh off the press this morning, y'all. I was going to give you a doom and gloom message about the vaccines, but the Lord had me change that. We'll get to that at some point. It's worse than you know. Now all the data's coming out now. Don't take any. If you've taken it, take no more boosters, please. Please don't. It's destroying our military right now. We're in big trouble, folks. This is another reason we need to pray, like we've never prayed before. Let's go to Psalm 34. This is just good right here. Somebody say the word of God is good. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. Yes, our door got busted, and I've had a crazy week and a crazy weekend, and I'm tired. But let me just tell you something. I got the joy of the Lord because there ain't nothing better than following Jesus. There ain't nothing better than knowing Jesus. There ain't nothing better than knowing that he can intervene for me about anything at any time. And if he doesn't, I'm still not changing. I'm still following him. See? They can't shake me. They can't change me. I'm going to be like John McClane in Die Hard. I'm fly in the ointment, the monkey in the wrench, the pain in the you know what. I ain't going away, brother. What he says here, this Psalm 34, you there? Let me see here. What verse we go to? Yeah, verse 15. Well, first of all, let's just back up. This is just good. Back up a few verses. Verse 11. Come, ye children, hear, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Look what he said, verse 40. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And then verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. How many of you say, well, somebody would say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, 1 Peter 3:12. Guess who quoted it for the New Testament? Carried it on over for us. Just for those Old Testament protesters out there. Put it up, 1 Peter 3:12. Peter quotes it. Boom. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Huh. Peter was quoting Proverbs. Right? Say, the Lord's ears are open to the righteous. Come on, I didn't hear you. But he is against those who do evil. That means even if you call yourself a Christian. So, amen to old me. It's some good stuff. I want you to just look at a few verses. Just look at Romans 1:9. Read some. I'm just going to read some of these. I'm going to do them quick. Romans 1:9, Ephesians 1:16, 1 Thessalonians 1:2, Philemon 1:4. But we'll start with Romans 1:9. Paul said this. He was talking to the Romans. He said, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Now, if this wasn't important, why would the Apostle Paul waste his time, breath, and energy to pray for everyone he knew in the Roman church? Of course, we know what eventually happened to them. But you think about it. This man said, "I what? Always, without ceasing, make mention of you always in my prayers." Do you do that for your church family here? Oh, somebody said, yeah. Somebody said, I pray for y'all by name. I may not always pray a long prayer for you, but I pray for you. We need to be doing this for each other continually. Every day, we need each other badly. I need your prayers. Ephesians 1:16. Paul said to the Ephesians, and these were the church of Ephesus was a strong church. And he said this to them. He says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So wait a minute. Now Paul had to pray. Now he's praying for the whole Roman church. Now he's praying for the church of Ephesus. First Thessalonians 1:2. First Thessalonians 1:2. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Paul was talking about his team that traveled with him. "We pray for you, Thessalonians. Philemon, I thank my," Philemon 1:4. "I thank my God, making mention of thee," what? "Always in my prayer." Philemon was one man. So what Paul is saying there is, "I make mention of you by name, Philemon, always in my prayers." And I'm going to tell you right now, if Pastor Dean's name's not always in your prayers, you're in sin. Sin. Repent this day. I need you. These people out here are trying to kill us. In more ways than one. Oh. I wanted to read those because Paul was always talking about, "I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for you always. I always make mention of you in my prayers." He knew the need. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. You know, I have to tell you, the last few weeks, I've just been having fun preaching on Sunday morning. I guess this is more like teaching than preaching, but I'm just having fun. God is good. Now, Paul tells us here to take and put on the whole armor of God. I'm not going to read that. From verse 10 on down, he's talking about the armor of God and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places or heavenly places. He's talking about take unto you the whole armor of God. But everybody always leaves out verse 18. They'll talk about the armor of God. They'll talk about the spiritual warfare that we face. And I can tell you right now, stepping into this political realm has opened up a whole new evil doorway of spiritual warfare. It's a different, whole different world. But it's the same demons, the same devil. And Paul said this, after he said, put on the whole armor of God, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You hear that? You can put the armor on, but if you don't pray for all the saints, what have you done? You just say, I got mine. I'm good. It's a little selfish, isn't it? In fact, I think that you're strengthening yourself even more when you're praying for other people. Because that's called you laying down your life for somebody else. You're giving up your time, your energy, your strength, your breath for someone else. And now what Jesus taught, greater love has no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. You know, let me tell you what your life is. Your life is the time you have. Who do you use it for? Yourself? God? Others? That'd preach right there. That's why, you know, when we work for somebody, we're not just working for a paycheck. We're actually giving up part of our life, our time, energy, strength, to work for somebody so we can make a living. So that's why when you receive your paycheck, that represents your life. And what do you do with that? That's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Because you just gave up some of your life to get that money. What do you do with it? That's why what you do with your money should be very, you should be very careful what you do with it. Because that's your life. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So praying for everybody that you know. And then Paul says, and for me. That was Paul letting them know, if y'all don't pray for me, you're in sin. But a lot of people think, well, you know, if you got a godly leader like Paul, a man that's spiritual, man, they knew, oh, we know Paul has a prayer life. We know he's a man of faith. We know the anointing is upon him. He's good. No, no. No, like I preached last week, we're all made of this flesh. Paul, the reason he was always saying, and for me, pray for me, because he knew he wouldn't make it without that. Y'all hear me? Let's go to Philippians. Just one book over. I love this right here. Let me find my verse here. Again, I'm just doing this all this morning, just off the cuff here. Where is it? Look up the word supply for me. I know it's right here. I'm just overlooking it. What's that? Is it 4? No, no, no. It's the other one. There should be another verse with it. Philippians 2. That's it. I'm in 2. Where are we here? Ah, there we go. Verse 19. All right, let's read this right here from verse 12, because this is interesting. He says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And of course, you know, Paul had been beaten. He'd been thrown in prison. He'd been stoned. He said, so that my bonds, and this time he's in prison, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. Now listen to verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Y'all hear that? I'm going to make it, he's saying. I'm going to fulfill my calling through your prayer. See, there's no Lone Rangers. And there really wasn't a Lone Ranger. He had Tonto, so he wasn't by himself. Lone Ranger. They even lied to us on that, didn't they? How's he the Lone Ranger? He's got Tonto. And he wore a mask, yeah. I think we bought some of those masks. When we were going to wear some masks in some places when they were demanding masks, we're just going to wear the Lone Ranger mask. Oh, man. But notice he said, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This is something you need to understand. Prayer time supplies the Spirit of God to you and to the people you're praying for. That's what we need more than anything. We need the Spirit of God. We need to be filled. We need him upon us. We need him working in us and through us. Y'all don't even know. Y'all don't even know how many times I could tell you, going to speak at a conference or now going to speak in these campaign events, that I can feel the spiritual darkness. And not just the spiritual darkness and demons coming against me, but the words of my enemies and people speaking against me. And your flesh, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but your flesh sometimes gets to the point where you almost can't handle it because it becomes so heavy and overwhelming. All right? And then you're about to get up and speak. And the attack's not just on your body and on your spirit, but it's on your mind. And, you know, you're trying to remember what you're going to say or what you're going to speak to these people. And so you're in a war, usually, right? And I can tell you this right now. Like some of the big conferences, some of these campaign events are worse than others. The oppression, the heaviness. But I can tell you this right now. When I get up there and the Holy Spirit comes on me, I can just do it. I feel spiritually strengthened. My mind is clear. I know exactly what to say and even how to say it. And the boldness comes. And none of that is me. It's because of you. You understand? It's because you are praying and God is supplying. And we all need that. We need that from each other. You know what I'm talking about. I can tell when people are slacking up on praying for me. I can always tell. I'm like a bunch of lightweights. What are they doing? Like, don't they know I'm drowning over here? What are they doing? Come on, help me out. And I know y'all do. Look, I know y'all do, but I can tell you this much. We can take it up a notch for each other, for each other. And I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about for each other, for the church, and not just this church, for the church of Jesus Christ. We need a revival. They need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the lukewarm church, the dead churches, the Christians who are still watching CNN. God, I don't know how to do it, Troy. Pastor, I don't. It's like nails on a chalkboard for me. But, I mean, there's people that are Christians that are still asleep. They don't comprehend any. They don't know anything really that's going on. They're clueless. They follow the world. If the TV says it, that's what they believe and that's what they do. And it's sad. It's a sad situation that we're living in. But a revival starts breaking that off of people. God pours out his spirit, that starts breaking off of people. You know, we've been seeing God's answering some prayers. Praying for your parents. God's breaking through with her dad. Your dad, bad shape. I know she's thinking, might be losing my dad. Miraculous turnaround. Your prayers matter. I'm still here. Troy's still here from COVID. We the devil had meant for us to not be here anymore, brother. And I know I got through that because y'all prayed for me. This is why we need each other desperately. You know, when I think about the Azusa Street Revival, William Seymour, the poor black brother who was blind in one eye, but had the humility to sit outside of a Bible school and still listen and not be offended. How do you do that? God saw that humility. I can't even imagine that. And God sends him to Los Angeles, and he gets there to preach in the church, and his first sermon is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When he gets back that evening, the doors are locked. He's no longer welcome. And he's the one, though. Wasn't some superstar preacher. He's the one God picks to lead the great Pentecostal revival that swept America. And what's funny is right before that revival, he's praying like several hours a day, 4 or 5 hours a day. How many of you can say that? You're praying 4 or 5 hours a day. You know what the Lord told him? Pray more. Pray more. What? Lord, I'm praying 4 or 5 hours a day. Pray more. I can tell you that humble man never blinked an eye. Yes, sir, Lord. I will do it. And he's the one God picks to lead pretty much anybody that is Pentecostal today, meaning they believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and the gift of prophecy, and word of knowledge, and word of wisdom. All of us can trace back to someone who was there. My great aunts that prayed me into the kingdom in the 1930s were going to little brush arbor meetings out here in Casita from people who had been at the Azusa Street Revival. This is not a little thing, but I think pray more. You're praying 5 hours a day. Pray more. I ask you this question. Jesus looked at the apostles that he took with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked them the question, could you not tarry 1 hour? And what he was saying was, you can't even make it an hour with me? Don't you understand? And seeing what's so sad is, he was like, don't you understand what's about to go down? I need you. He needed them to be praying. But he had to ride it through pretty much on his own prayers. Think about that. The Lord is just mind-boggling what he's done for us. And how weak we are sometimes. Lazy, lukewarm, indifferent, unbelieving, distracted with stupidity when he needs us to be praying and to be focused and to be discerning. And I'm not beating you up. I need to take it up a notch myself. You hear what I'm saying? There was a day I used to pray a lot more than I do now. But we need it. The power of prayer, folks. It's not just some vague theology out there. God answers prayer. I'll show you this. I mean, well, it's only 5 after 12, so. Go to 1 John with me. Just 2 more passages, maybe. I won't make any promises. First John chapter 3, first. Verse 22 is about prayer here. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because. Somebody say because. Uh-oh. A lot of people out there think they can just pray, but no. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So if you want to have an effective prayer life, make sure that you're walking in obedience to the Lord and you're trying to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There's a lot of folks out there that are not obeying God, that are not doing the things pleasing in his sight, and they think, you know, after they finish their 12-pack of beer, they can go say a prayer and God's going to answer it. And then they get mad if he doesn't. Time to wake up. This is what it says, 1 John. Let's look over in chapter 5, 1 John 5. Oh, where's my verse? I'm having a time today. Ah, here we go. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So we need to know that we're praying God's will. Right? We ask anything according to his will. Well, there's some things it's easy to figure out. You say, well, is it God's will to save people? According to the Bible, it says God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The word desire means that is his will. So when we pray for somebody to be saved, that God would open their eyes and show them the truth, we're praying in his will. We're praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have his wisdom. We're asking for wisdom from heaven. That's God's will. When we're asking for strength, when we're asking for him to use us, when we're asking for him to be a light through us. Now, some of the things that we pray, sometimes we don't know if it's his will. We just pray, you know, we pray. Sometimes we just have to pray. We don't know. That's why sometimes we pray for somebody. You know, we pray for somebody to be healed sometimes, and it's not their time. It's time for them to go. It's time for them to be with the Lord. And the Lord says no. And they go on and be with the Lord. And again, there's times we won't know his will perfectly, but we should pray anyway about it, right? There's nothing wrong with that. You cover all the bases. And then let what happens, happens. And you put it in his hands. But at least you can say, we prayed. I mean, there's been times I've spent days and weeks praying for people, going to the hospital while they were dying of cancer. And I've seen miraculous intervention, cancer disappear and people go home. And I've also seen them die with the same amount of prayer and fasting and faith because it was their time to go. Or like one time, there were some hidden things in their life that I found out later. The Lord was just said, nope, not healing them. But we pray. So about, you know, we believe God heals. We pray for healing. The answer, the miracle, that's in his hands. How he does it, when he does it. Or if he decides to do it, that's all in his hands. But we still pray, ask, and believe for it to happen because that's what we're supposed to do. Believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what I'm going to do. People get all bent out of shape. Well, that person didn't get healed. That person didn't get healed. So what are you going to do? Sit at home and not pray for anybody? I mean, what are you going to do? Give up? Quit? Stop believing? No. Ted, aren't you glad that people didn't give up on you? 12 years. Sal? Well, I'm so glad people didn't give up on me. My great aunts and my great grandma, boy, they love me. You know how I know? Prayed for me every single day of my life. They had me on every prayer list in the country. And look, I believe this. Even though I was called to be a minister of the gospel, Jesus Christ, I'm here because people prayed for me or I wouldn't be here. James' ministry got cut short. Maybe the church wasn't praying enough. We don't know. We know they obviously prayed enough once they took Peter. But I don't think they were praying like that before James was taken. Some ministries and ministers and callings and gifts are taken out before their time. Some of it's just through ignorance or stupid things or sin or whatever. They open the door. But I think a lot of times it's because they didn't have enough people praying for them. I shudder, man. I shudder to think of my life if my great aunts hadn't have been praying for me and didn't believe in the power of prayer. My great aunt Zola, her name was Zola Francis, but I called her Zola Jean. The reason I called her Zola Jean was because Mr. Green Jeans on Captain Kangaroo, because was always planting stuff. She was in the garden. She was always planting something, right? She was always growing something. So I called her Zola Jean. She just laughed at me. But Zola Jean had a little book. I have it to this day. It's on my shelf. It's by Ian Bounds called he had so many books. What was it called? The Power of Prayer, I don't know, or The Essential. I don't know. He had a bunch of prayer books. But Ian Bounds, if you want books on prayer that are just amazing, anything by Ian Bounds. But that book, she would read it and reread it and reread it and reread it. That book was worn to a frazzle, along with her Bible. And she would go up. I remember she'd go up in the woods, and she would pray all the time. I would find her. I would stumble upon her because when I was there, I was always everywhere. But I'd find her praying up there. I'd find her in tears praying. You talk about that heritage. They understood there's power in prayer. And it took 19 years to get me. That means they prayed for 19 years, brother. 19 years of drinking and fighting and guns and knives and drunken driving. And I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. So pray. You think somebody in your family is a lost cause? Are they putting Christians in prison and killing them yet? That's what Paul was doing. They're not a lost cause. They're on drugs, and you think they never can get off? We got a bunch of people in this room that used to be on drugs that are free now. And they're right, Sal. I don't know where Crystal is this morning. She told me she's going to be here. I don't see her. Not feeling well. But we have a lot of people. I could tell stories. Told somebody in the store the other day. I was buying somebody those Navage things, right? So I had two of them in my hand. So this lady in front of me thinks I got beer. I'm like, I don't have beer. I don't know why she turned around thinking I had beer in my hand. But, you know, when she did that, I said, well, you know, I stopped drinking that when I was 19 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. So I got to lay the truth on this one. We had a little conversation there for a bit. And she said, well, I'm a kindergarten teacher. And she said, I think I need a beer. And I was like, yeah, I bet you do. But I got to share my whole testimony with that woman. Because I told her, I was a teenage alcoholic. Especially by the time I got to college, I was drinking every day. Getting drunk every day. She's like, wow. She says, I said, guess it's a good thing you got saved. I said, yes, 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 ma'am. It was a very good thing because I probably wouldn't be here. You know, I've been rushed to the hospital on several occasions with alcohol poisoning because I drank so much in a short period of time. So I thank God for the power of prayer that my great-grandmother, I remember my mom, 1986, was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, had a cancer tumor in her chest, big as my fist right here. And they didn't know. I mean, they especially back then, they weren't sure if she would make it or not. But they scheduled her. In fact, they said 2 more months. It would have been too late for sure. But, you know, they gave her chemotherapy and radiation and took out the tumor. She had a big, they had to crack her chest and take out this massive tumor in her chest. And I remember my great-grandmother, I found this out years later. My great-grandmother at the time, she was probably in her late 70s, somewhere in that time period. No, probably in her 80s by then. Found out that she stayed up all night, some nights. Didn't sleep. Praying for my mom, for God to have mercy on my mom. Now, my mom in 1986 was not born-again Christian because I led her to Jesus in 1987. But I think about my grandmother, old, weak, many of her own problems, staying up all night interceding for my mother to live, to make it through, that the cancer would not take her. And you know, her cancer never came back. Got, you know, 25 more years with my mom. And I think about that, the power of prayer. You know, and my mom, at that time, I mean, she was partying, drinking, smoking, you know, and she understood. Boy, she quit smoking immediately. And so, just saying, the power of prayer. Let that sink in, the power of prayer. We need the power of prayer. You need it. I need it. We need it. The people we think around us that are hopeless needs it. They need it the most. Don't give up. Some of you got children that are still rebelling and not following the Lord and living in sin. Listen, my aunts, I mean, I know my mom had to be telling them stories. I put my mom through it, man. I don't even know how my mom handled it. She didn't have Jesus. How she handled having me as a teenager. The police and the emergency room visits and everything else. But see, my aunts, they didn't give up. I know y'all got something. They don't give up. Pray hard for them. They're hard-headed. It's probably going to take something drastic to get them. But, hey, I tell people all the time, it shocked everybody in my little world that knew about this partying, drinking, fighting, bar hopping maniac that I was. All of a sudden, completely different person. And it's because of prayer. Amen. So, this is the word for the church this morning. I hope you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, because he spoke it to me before I left home, and he spoke it to me sitting back there. It's time for Fire and Grace Church family to take the prayer up about, you know, let's turn it up to 11. We're probably at about 4 right now. We need to turn it up to 11. All right? Let's turn it up, and we're going to see God do some amazing things if we do. I promise you, we're going to see some amazing things. But everything that happens good is going to be because we prayed. We prayed it through, and it happened. So, if I had a graphic this morning, it would be turning the volume up, turn it all the way up. All right? Let's stand. We can do Roy one more time. Why don't we do that one more time? Like I said, they can't get us for Roy songs. Let's worship the Lord. 6 minutes. This song is 6 minutes. Can you worship the Lord for six more minutes this morning? All right.
All creation cries your name. Falling down before your throne. With the mighty anthem raised. Under you alone. There is no. There is no greater song we could sing. Help me sing this. For you are holy, Lord, you are worthy. Unto you glory in the highest. For you are holy, Lord, you are worthy. This world will surrender to you, God. Oh, forever you will stand. And reign victorious.
unto you, glory, oh, glory in the highest, for you are.
Worship you. We thank you. There's nothing better than knowing you and walking with you and having you in our lives. Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for your Spirit who lives and dwells within us. We thank you, Lord, that God, many more are going to come to know you and your love and your forgiveness and your salvation, Jesus. We believe that and we're going to see that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, we'll say goodbye to them out there. Y'all hold up. Got a few little things, a few little announcements, and we'll move on. But we'll say bye to our audience out there.